This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
Terrible news, everybody. I went to a tag sale and there was an entire bin filled with Princess Diana Beanie Babies.
I told you.
And she said to me, I'll give you all of them for $30.
$30. She would have given you an entire bin full of them. You should have just turned yours over to her immediately and walked away. I said, here's $3. You take mine.
The Anna and Raven Roadshow is back. Joining us, it's our good friend Ryan Brecklin. He's an expert appraiser. You can get all the info on his company at goodbottleauctions.com. Ryan, you've been telling me for years these Princess Diana Beanie Babies are not going to be my retirement, which is very sad.
And you never wanted to believe me.
It's an amazing thing about propaganda, right? Somebody tells you something a few times, you keep it in your mind, and you say to yourself, but I've kept it so pristine. Mm-hmm. These other ones they're talking about, they must be the losers. Mine, this is the one.
It is nothing more than supply and demand. Yeah. If the supply of Princess Diana Beanie Babies is high and the demand is low, they're not worth anything.
See, so that's what you should have done, Anna. You should have pulled out like lighter fluid or something like that, doused them all, and lit them and ran away screaming.
Yeah.
If you do that enough times, you might actually be onto something.
All right, let's move on. So over the last couple of weeks, we've been taking all your submissions at annaandraven.com of items that you have around your house. And then Ryan comes in and tells you what they're worth. Before we get to those, producer Julie brought in an item that she would really like for you to look at.
It's in a little cloth sack here. Let's see what it is.
That always means that it's valuable.
I have a necklace here with charms and a popsicle. It's got a little clover leaf on it. Is this a specific brand?
I don't know. I got it at an antique store. It looks like a little firecracker popsicle.
Yeah, red, the little three color. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's not gold.
Ugh. All right.
Sorry.
Dang. What about the charm, though? Because I've done some research and I've seen 125 floating around on Google.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I like when Ryan takes out that little magnifying glass.
Right?
Gets me really excited.
He just has it in his pocket.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Anytime he pulls that out, I've never gotten good news after it comes out.
Yeah, it's not gold, and it's just enamel costume jewelry.
Oh,
sorry.
Well, it looks cool.
So, you know, we've talked about costume jewelry in the past.
A lot of jewelry will be marked. You'll see a mark like 14 karat, 10 karat, 18 karat, just a little 18 KT. And that's why I keep the magnifier in my pocket. But there's a lot of jewelry that isn't marked and is made of gold. Remember, we've been doing this for thousands and thousands of years, so you really can't tell without training, and it's important to go to someone who you trust and has the knowledge.
One of our coworkers came up to me, and we had on the same paperclip gold necklace.
On trend.
And she said, oh, did your husband get that for you at Lux Bond and Green? And I said, no, we got it at Costco. When you're looking at jewelry that at these high-end places versus places that sell gold like at Costco, it's the same gold, right? It's not like you're getting...
Yes.
Like, what is the difference? Why is one so expensive versus the other?
Because Costco already has traffic in the store. So the jewelry store has a much higher expense, both for their location, their advertising. So their prices are higher. And Costco is basically selling that at cost. When you buy a gold bar or a silver bar at Costco, they're selling it at zero profit. Costco is selling you the real thing.
So, you know, touching on that, Ryan, diamonds... Should you ever be buying your diamonds at a chain jeweler?
You could, if that's what you want, if you're in a rush. But lab-grown diamonds have almost no resale value. A diamond dealer will not pay you $1 for a lab-grown diamond.
How are they still selling them for thousands of dollars?
Because we've been tricked into believing that diamonds are valuable for 125 years. Natural diamonds have some value, but their value on the resale now is 10%.
Wow.
Oh,
10% of what it was.
Imagine.
So people just want shiny rocks. Go ahead and buy a shiny rock. It's fun.
It's good.
But don't pay even half of what a natural diamond costs for a lab grown because they're wholesaling. I'll give you an example. At JCK, the big jewelry trade show, 5-carat, round, colorless, flawless, perfectly cut lab grown diamonds were wholesaling for $500. The jewelry store marks it up as much as they want. They are only paying $500 for it.
That's crazy.
Knowing what you know, Ryan, what would you advise somebody who's out and getting ready to get engaged now?
Go get a morganite or a natural emerald. Colored gemstones are 10 times more rare, natural earth mined colored gemstones, than diamonds, and in the right market, more valuable.
All right. We're going to have more with Ryan coming up next.
Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today, they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
The Anna and Raven Roadshow is back. Joining us, it's our friend Ryan Brecklin. He's an expert appraiser. You can find him online at goodbottleauctions.com. Also, Ryan, before we dive into all these incredible items that had been sent to us from the listeners, I want to thank you again for having me come to your shop and do live auctioneering.
You were great. You're hired.
Oh, good. I love it. Anytime you need me, call. It was so fun. I was like, give me the gavel. Boom. You know?
Yeah. You like that power. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan, whenever he's come here, the most fun for us is that we learn something every single time. So what are we looking at now?
So this is from Tammy. Tammy sent two pictures of guns.
Okay.
And one of them is a long German rifle with engraving and gold all over it. That's called a guild rifle. They're handmade, custom fitted. And the values on those vary wildly, you know, anywhere from $800 to $8,000.
Okay.
But sent something very interesting. Tammy has a 19th century pistol made by Henry Derringer. Doesn't Derringer kind of ring a bell?
Yeah,
for you?
What is that? Why do I know that?
The two-shot gun, right?
You
the
think about a little typically. Mini pocket gun as being called the Derringer, and that's what Henry Derringer was famous for.
Right.
He was a gunsmith, an American gunsmith in Philadelphia, lived till about 1868, and he contracted with the U.S. military, and made guns for the Civil War, for the Navy, and they made flintlocks, he made percussion pistols, and the one in this photo here, imagine like a pirate's pistol almost, right? This has a little hammer on the outside of it, hits a percussion cap, shoots a ball down the muzzle. This one is a U.S. military Henry Derringer, made in Philadelphia, probably about 1850.
Wow.
Really neat, and especially notable because a Derringer was the type of gun used to assassinate Abraham Lincoln.
Wait a minute. You think that's the gun?
It's not the gun.
Oh, no. I don't know. The way he said it with such hesitation, I was like, whoa! Oh, okay.
I mean, if it was that gun.
Who knows?
It'd definitely be worth something, right?
This one's cool. Tammy has it in a nice little display case with a plaque underneath, and it's most likely a U.S. Navy gun. So issued to someone in the U.S. Navy. Probably fired rounds during the Civil War.
I mean, and that's something, too, about a weapon that's proven in battle, like a weapon that's actually been through service.
Right.
I remember somebody talking to me about that before.
A gun is a gun, but when you have an object that has historical significance, it's something that you can collect, but also it connects you to the past. It helps you physically realize what a horrible thing the Civil War was, what this country was going through. And that's why they're desirable and they're collectible and why people are interested in owning them.
How much is this worth?
Yeah, big reveal.
This one, anywhere between $1,000 and $2,000. I'd probably put about $1,500 on this gun in this condition.
Okay. I know that you've actually done a lot of work with weapons. What was the one thing that walked in your door that you were like, oh my gosh?
He's got quite a collection. I mean, you've seen it.
In terms of guns, the most amazing one, probably embellished shotgun sets. So we had a set of shotguns for the English gentleman, you know, made in England, completely covered in gold, engraving, hunting scenes. And I think the pair of those sold for $55,000.
Oh, wow.
You know, when I see a weapon like that, because I mean, I've seen plenty of pictures of these gilded weapons before. I always think to myself, like, this is only for display, right? It never was used. But I guess if you're king or duke of something, why not use it?
Oh, absolutely. If you spend $55,000 on a set of shotguns, you're going to take it out in the field and hunt with it.
You are? Oh, I would never touch it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you're flexing, right?
I guess.
You're finally at a place in life where you can spend $55,000 on a set of shotguns. Are you not going to take that to the range and show it off in front of your buddies?
I guess that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. You're not wearing camouflage when you're putting that on your...
Right. Jeff Bezos doesn't just look at his yacht. He gets on his yacht, too.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, you're going to clean it and put it away. You're not going to leave it in the field or something like that.
Yeah.
So they're very durable. They're meant to fire...
All right. Well, thank you, Tammy, for submitting the pictures of your guns. And we're going to have a lot more with Ryan Brecklin all this week.
Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today, they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
All this week, Ryan Brecklin is joining us for the Anna and Raven Roadshow. He's an expert appraiser. You can find all about his company at goodbottleauctions.com. Ryan, we had so many submissions, and I want to thank everybody that sent things in. Obviously, we can't talk about all of them, but what did you select for this time?
This one comes from Joy, and she sent in a little tiny cast iron sewing machine. You can almost envision it in your head what an old-timey sewing machine looks like, but this one's only about 6 or 8 inches wide. Mm-hmm. It has a hand crank on the side, and it's actually a Singer Model 20 children's sewing machine that was developed probably around 1910 and was in production until the 1950s.
I mean, they didn't have any video games back then. They didn't have a lot of entertainment. So child labor was something that we were really encouraging.
They made them for kids that were hand cranked?
Yes, it was a hand crank sewing machine for kids. Now, remember that in 1910... you didn't go to the clothing store.
Right.
You made your own clothing. You repaired your own clothing. And if you lived in a place that didn't have access to any sort of store or someone to make the clothing, you had to do it on your own and you had to teach your kids.
Right.
Or else they'd just be naked.
Yeah.
They'd be out there running around.
Yeah. This was one of their most successful things that Singer made. And millions of these were produced. They were durable. They were repairable. They were not built in. They didn't have built in obsolescence, you know, like appliances do today.
Like they're going to break automatically on you and fall apart.
Mm-hmm. And there's a ton of variations. So they're really collectible. It's the kind of thing that someone can buy 4 or 5 of and fit onto a shelf. And then you can find different colors, different decals, different sort of options that come along with it. It's a fun thing to collect. This particular one worth about $100.
Okay.
I mean, cool.
This is like, to me, this sewing machine... like, if you're really into fashion and you're really into all that, it's like something perfect to collect. I collect old radios. I know 99% of them aren't worth a penny. You know, they're just old, busted up radios. But they're so pretty to put on a bookshelf and just to see and to look at. And I guess this falls kind of under the same category.
Correct.
Are sewing machines in general collectible? Because I feel like during the pandemic, they were worth $1 billion.
Right. And Singers have always held value.
Yeah. So the old large oak console sewing machines that you would work with your feet. For a long time, they were so big and so ungainly. People didn't have room for them. They were selling at auction for $20, $40, $50. I remember my wife purchased one and it had the Sphinx on the side of it and beautiful gold decals and never used it.
Yeah.
Just piled clothes on it in the guest bedroom, right? And when we sold it, I think we got $120 for it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like they were worth more at one point. You really do have to have an expert.
It's like what you always say, Ryan, is if they were mass produced and there was a lot of them, they don't hold value.
Right.
They're not rare.
They're neat. It's cool if you inherit one and you want to, you know, use it for decoration in your house or get it running again. But there's less and less people that know how to fix them.
All right. Well, thanks, Joy, so much for submitting your mini sewing machine. Very cool to even know that they made ones for just kids years ago.
Yeah. Less and less people that even know how to use one, actually.
Uh-huh. We'll have more with Ryan Brecklin coming up tomorrow.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.